Good morning, Texas Tech. I'm Joshua Cook. Welcome into the show, everyone, as we put a final wrap on the spring season of Good Morning, Texas Tech.
And I'm Kevin Wade, and as we send two of our own off into the real world today, we will be talking later about dream jobs and what they were when you were a kid. And later on, we're going to talk to Elisa Ross about how to find a job now.
And I'm Matt Smith. You'll hear some great packages today, as well as some of the new music we've added during our breaks. Here's Julie with news.
Good morning. I'm Julie Fisher with your KTXT News Update. The City of Lubbock will hold vaccination clinics this week. The first clinic is this Wednesday from 9 a.m. until noon at the Godeke Library, located at 67th Street and Slide. The second clinic, held at the Health Department, will last from 8:30 a.m. until noon. The Health Department is located at 806 18th Street. Individual children's vaccines cost $10 and $15 for two or more. Adult vaccination prices will vary. Workers affected by the fertilizer plant explosion several weeks ago in West Texas will receive unemployment benefits from the Texas Workforce Commission. The TWC will help workers apply for benefits as well as find other work. A job fair will be held today and tomorrow for the workers at the West Knights of Columbus Hall. Those affected by the explosion can call 866-274-1722 or visit uitexasworkforce.org to apply. The candlelight vigil was held for Colorado teen Haley Dunn Friday, the same day that Scurry County officials made the announcement that the human remains found in Snyder this past March were positively identified as the middle schooler. Dunn went missing in late 2010, and a massive search of the area to find the teen ensued. Officials say her body was found at Lake J.B. Thomas, an area near where she was originally reported missing. Here's Cutter Martin with the weather.
Good morning, everyone. Temperatures are mild to start the day in the upper 50s to near 60 across the city of Lubbock. Mostly clear skies, a little bit of a breeze, a very nice spring-like morning. But temperatures will warm quickly today into the mid-80s by lunch, topping out near 90 or maybe 91 or 92 in the city of Lubbock this afternoon. Continued partly cloudy skies, though there is a very slight chance of thunderstorms well to the east of Lubbock. All in all, a very nice, warm, and somewhat breezy afternoon. For KTXT Weather, I'm Cutter Martin.
Well, welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Josh Cook alongside Matt Smith, Kevin Wade, Julie Fisher, Christine Copeland, and Bianca Yarbrough across the way, pushing all the buttons, make us sound wonderful.
I love this song.
I can tell you were jamming to it.
Is this from Doug?
I think it is.
Yep.
And if
Dude,
you
flashbacks.
If you didn't know, today is the final installment of Good Morning Texas Tech in the spring season.
Semester?
Season?
It's season? Both.
Whatever. You can join the conversation on Twitter. Tweet us at TheRaider881. Or also, you can listen to us live online via our online stream, ktxdfm.org. So,
good people of Lubbock, Josh and Matt are a little bit riled up about something.
Oh, we are riled. It is beyond. This is perfect. I'm glad we waited until today to do our final show. We were going to do it last week, but we picked the perfect day to do our final show because headlines kicks off with something fantastic. Matt?
I have a lot to say, but I'm not that fired up. The Jets did something that was inevitable. They released Tim Tebow.
Uh-huh.
I think this is not necessarily sports news. This is national news.
Uh-huh.
He's been kind of a national figure. You know, they drafted Geno Smith over the weekend, Big 12 quarterback out of West Virginia, and they kind of had a logjam at QB with about six on the roster. I'll keep my position kind of short. I don't think New York was ever the right place for him. I don't think he was ever brought in with a fair opportunity. And I kind of feel bad for him because he's kind of been cast out in the league really for just being a good guy, where guys like Terrell Owens and Chad Ochocinco or Chad Johnson, they keep getting opportunities. He's young and unproven, and who knows if he'll play for an NFL team again. His hometown team of Jacksonville doesn't want him.
I mean, here's the thing. He's definitely one of those quarterbacks that's got to fit into a system. New York Jets were not the system to go to. You know, they had Mark Sanchez there. He was an established quarterback. They bring in Tim Tebow. That was kind of a cluster deal. And throughout the season, he wasn't used at all in the right situation. He was used to block punts. He was put in a halfback situation. I don't think Tebow was happy in New York. I think he's glad to get out and go to a team maybe that needs a good backup quarterback. He's not going to start in this league, that's for sure. And when the moment they drafted Geno Smith, I said, okay, who's going to get cut? It's not going to be Mark Sanchez. It's going to be Tim Tebow.
Well, first of all, it would be Mark Sanchez if his salary cap figure wasn't over $10 million. But you said Mark Sanchez is an established quarterback. He's not, and that's why they brought Tim Tebow in.
I say he's established. Well, you lead the team to back-to-back AFC championship games.
That was years ago, and if you look at his QB rating, you would not think he was established.
That's true.
But I think we have a couple more things.
So pretty much the headline is Tebow
we want
out.
To talk about. Yes, he's gone.
Well, I mean, we've got another thing, a political cartoon that just got released on the explosion in West over there a little while ago. And I think this is in poor taste. I know they were trying to be funny, but basically it's Governor Perry up at the mic saying business is booming in Texas, and then the next panel is an explosion. What do you guys think about this?
I think it's very Seth MacFarlane-esque, very inappropriate and poor timing.
I mean, I think, you know, you said it might be in poor taste. I think it was tasteless. I don't think there's any way you could spin this. If the guy who wrote the cartoon, or even the guy who published it, or is the editor, hasn't resigned yet, I recommend he do so. When there's a loss of lives, whether they be U.S. or foreign, and you mock it in a political cartoon so soon after it happens, it's disgraceful.
Well, on the day of the memorial, that I think is what just pushes it over the edge. It's already in such poor taste, and then that's like as bad as the Westboro Baptist Church showing up and trying to protest.
This is something that went through actually a bunch of editors before it was published, and it should have been stopped before being published. You could have picked any other day, picked a week later. I don't think it should have ever ran. Should have never been published. It was like, okay, maybe, oh, haha, that's kind of funny if you're the editor, but you don't run that. It's absolutely stupid. Absolutely. And then when you have to defend it and the editor comes out and says it's unfortunate that Governor Perry and some on the blogosphere have attempted to interpret the cartoon as being disrespectful for the victims of this tragedy, as Omen has made clear on his blog, he has complete empathy for the victims and people living by the plant. What he finds offensive is a governor who would gamble with lives or families by not pushing for the strong safety regulations. Perry's letter is an attempt to distract people from that
message.
That's
not what that says at all.
So, you know, it was taught to me very early that it's not what you say or do, it's how it's perceived. Mm-hmm. Clearly, this person hasn't learned it yet. However, we have to kind of look at his intentions. If you look at the cartoon, it's clearly a political statement in the respect that he depicts Governor Perry as, you know, a figurehead. If you haven't seen the picture, I recommend you look it up online. And he's kind of mocking low tax and low regulation.
However, had something been released about security or, you know, a political cartoon about the Boston bombings, which I can't find one. I've kind of looked for one that's, you know, trying to make a statement about it. I can't find one. What would happen if that was widely released?
Oh, that would have been lit up.
There would have been no question. That's not cool.
He would have been fired so quick, but he takes a swing. And here's the thing. 14 people died, and I watched that memorial live, and they were playing videos of the families and remembering the people that they lost, and then I see this guy ought to be fired, he should be ran out of the city, should be ran out of the newspaper industry. Where are the ethics? Where are your ethics?
Well,
they're thrown square out the window.
Well, that happened a long time ago.
Well, yeah. I it's distasteful, it's disgusting, and as a journalist, I think it's just embarrassing.
Well, on to a lighter subject.
Thank you, Kevin. You're awesome.
Thanks for that, Josh. They're actually going to finish up. They're going to top out the new World Trade Center.
America.
They are putting America. Thank you, Josh. They're putting up the last two sections of the 408-foot spire. It's going to top out the 16-acre World Trade Center site. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting. Like Josh said, America.
You know, I'm a native of New York. This is a big moment for New York. It's not really a competitive thing trying to be the tallest building. It's really a statement about how resilient New York is and the United States are. And it's kind of great timing with what happened in Boston to show that a city could come back from something so horrible. You know, I was in New York. My dad works in New York during 9/11, and it was one of the most terrifying days of my life.
And, I mean, the thing is, 1,776 feet wasn't just by accident. It wasn't just, oh, well, look at the look what we did. No, they intentionally did it. We're going to build this to 1776. That's going to be the number, and it's going to show, like Matt said, our resiliency. And it's a great day. You know, you have the World Trade Center. You have the World Trade Center Memorial, which I want to go visit. It's a beautiful memorial, the water fountains they have up there. But now you have the new World Trade Center going up and being finished, and that just shows, hey, not just down, we're coming back.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, guys. Enjoy the song you're about to hear. It's a new music ad called In Your Car by a band called Big Deal.
Good morning, Texas Tech, everyone. Josh Cook alongside Matt Smith, Kevin Wade, Julie Fisher, Christine Copeland across the way, pushing all the buttons this morning on another episode of Good Morning, Texas Tech. So, putting a final wrap on the spring season. And throughout the spring, we've had a lot of episodes. We've had a lot of packages. Some that have made us kind of remember, made us serious, made us laugh, made us cry. And now we take a look back on the best packages of Good Morning, Texas Tech.
And we've just gotten word of not one, but two explosions near the finish line of the Boston Marathon. These are live pictures coming into us now, I assume from Fox News Boston and Fox 26 up there. But it's just popped up, and it just happened while we were discussing this.
Cracking Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Crack. Cracking Gangnam Style.
You know what always kept America moving forward, America?
Change! We didn't like the shape of chickens, so we changed them to nuggets. We grew tired of saying, greetings, dear friend. So we changed it to, sup. We changed man bands into boy bands. We gotta change that back.
I was just gonna fold your clothes for you so they wouldn't get wrinkled.
That's so sweet of you.
I'd fold your panties any day.
What?
This is Sparta!
No mercy. A good start.
Did you ever kill Jews?
Bravery.
said, in 76 years on this plantation, you've seen all manner of them. But I noticed, you didn't mention kneecap.
You could have thought to yourself, you know, you could have said, I think I'm going to get Brooke some flowers.
You said on our very first date that you don't like flowers, that they're a waste of money.
Every girl likes flowers, Gary.
I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
What the heck's the difference between all these phones?
What's LTE? Is it contagious?
Which one fits my face?
Can I use a dongle with this?
Does it make you uncomfortable to use the word dongle?
That, son, is where babies come from.
But Jake said babies are made when mommies and daddies...
You go, play wheels on the bus.
The wheels on the bus go round and round.
My daddy left us. I was only 6 months older than you are now.
I don't remember him. You will remember me.
World's not so simple anymore. I guess it never was. We ignored it. Now we can't.
You Jackie Robinson?
We win if the world is convinced of two things. That you are a fine gentleman and a great baseball player.
You want a player who doesn't have the guts to fight back?
No, I want a player who's got the guts not to fight back.
Give me a uniform. Give me a number on my back. I'll give you the guts.
Jackie Robinson,
you have earned a place with the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Think about the abuse that he's going to take.
When you step out on that field, you're changing the world.
The tornado warning remains in effect for Lubbock, Western Crosby, Floyd, and Southern Hale counties until 10 p.m. tonight.
We're getting one steady electricity storm. It's just lighting this, there's one up left of it, just keeping the whole sky lit up.
You advise the police department in Ottawa to sound the warning sirens for a possible tornado.
12 southeast, just dropped two hooks a minute ago.
So that highlights several, to explain and maybe make sense of some of those that sounded disjointed. We covered lots of different subjects this semester, from Black History Month to the Oscars, the
violence
Super
in the
Bowl,
media.
Violence in the media, and Severe Weather Awareness Month.
Which I know was history. Derek's favorite week.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah.
Our general manager is a weather. Super weather buff. I think buff is an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, those are all packages that we've made, student made, completely made throughout the whole semester. And I think that we did a good job.
It's been fun because I think it's been a balance between, you know, you take a serious topic, and the great thing about audio that a lot of people forget is how moving it is and how powerful it is. You know, I think out of all of our packages this semester, I think Black History Month was one of my favorite. I think also the severe weather was intense because you hear the calls over the air, and it's just one of those things that audio is so moving, and it still is, and I enjoyed listening to radio for that reason, and because you can't just depend on the visuals.
To me, that is why the spirit of the radio, I guess, is that awesome Rush song goes.
Right.
Because you can tell a story, and that's all you have is sound and words and thoughts. You have to tell a story with everything you put out.
Absolutely. You need to put it in your own context. It's different when it's all handed to you on a platter when you're watching TV. Not that I don't like that, but when you're listening to the radio, it's harder for the person who's doing the communicating to portray what they want to portray because they have to do it just through words. And, you know, any number of those clips could be taken out of context, but, you know.
You have to be very direct in the message that you're trying to get across. And you have to do it in a creative way so that people don't tune out.
And, you know, that's why, you know, people talk about, like, the future of radio and everyone wondering what's happening. But, you know, radio's not going anywhere. It's such a unique medium. And, it's so exciting to listen to. And, I mean, that's why I'm here. And that's why I like doing it. Other than the fact that I love Josh's voice. It's just so... fantastic. I enjoy listening to it.
I think, you know, a lot of people say radio is going away. It'll be replaced by social media, be replaced by television. It will never be replaced because radio is one of those things that we enjoy, we listen to every day. It might be satellite radio, it might be whatever you listen to, news talk, sports talk, but
a podcast of some sorts. But in my opinion, it's very close to the same thing. You're still having to... Sorry, Matt, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I think it'll never be replaced because it's pretty unsafe to watch TV while driving.
That's true. See?
All right.
Points.
Well, glad I interrupted you for that.
We're heading into a break. KTXT Sports Update next.
For your KTXT Sports Update, I'm Justin Laney. The Red Raider baseball team was back in action on Sunday afternoon where they salvaged the series from the 11th-ranked Oklahoma Sooners as the Tech offense accumulated 15 total hits, which is the most by Texas Tech in a road game this season. The Red Raiders improved to 20-24 overall and 6-12 in Big 12 play, while Oklahoma fell to 33-11 overall and 10-5 in Big 12 play. Texas Tech will get back at it as they host the New Mexico Lobos on Tuesday and Wednesday as former head coach Dan Spencer makes his return to Lubbock as the UNM pitching coach. First pitch on Tuesday night is slated for 6:30 p.m. The Texas Tech softball team played their final game of the 2013 season at Rocky Johnson Field in front of 1,025 fans, which is second most in school history. However, the 7th-ranked Texas Longhorns ousted the Red Raiders by a final score of 4-1 to take the series sweep. Texas Tech had 5 seniors play their final home game at The Rock as Mikey Kinney, Adriana Perez, Sandy James, Emily Cooper, and Ashley Brokeshoulder played their final game in Lubbock as members of the Tech softball team. With the loss, Texas Tech fell to 29-24 overall and 3-12 in Big 12 play, while the Longhorns improved to 42-6 overall and 12-2 on the season. Texas Tech will be back in action this weekend in Waco, Texas as they face the Baylor Bears. Game 1 of the series will be nationally televised by ESPN on Thursday night. First pitch is slated for 7 p.m. Both Red Raider tennis teams were ousted during the Big 12 Championships in Norman, Oklahoma over the weekend as the number 17 Lady Raiders fell 4-3 to the number 24 Texas Longhorns, and the men's team narrowly lost 4-3 to number 30 TCU. The Lady Raiders earned a share of the Big 12 regular season championship and is hopeful about possibly hosting the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament. The men's team, however, will be playing the waiting game as to whether they will be invited to compete in the NCAA tournament this season. This has been your KTXT Sports Update. I'm Justin Laney.
I woke up as your friend, as your friend, as your friend, as your friend.
Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Breaking it down, dance style.
I must
in the
be getting
studio.
Old because I do not enjoy this music.
What? Come on, Julie.
I'm so close to graduation. It's just I'm outgrowing it already.
You just think you're so special now that you're almost in the real world.
Oh, welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. You can join the conversation on Twitter at TheRaider881. You can also listen to us online on KTXCFM.org, which is kind of cool thing. We started streaming about midway through the semester, so it's been fun to be on the World Wide Web.
It's quite exciting.
It is. And talking about dream jobs, we had a few students put together a package about there was these kids, it was a commercial for Monster.com, and it was these kids talking about what they wanted to be when they grew up, and that's a package about that now.
When I grow up, I want to work in advertising. Be forced to work 10 hours a day.
12 hours a day.
14 hours a day.
I want to work like a dog for a $1,500 raise.
When I grow up, I want to be an account coordinator.
A gopher.
Get coffee and donuts.
And sit in client meetings and contribute absolutely nothing.
When I grow up, I want to be a media director.
A buyer.
A planner.
When I grow up, I want to be a creative director.
Have a big head.
Save all the good TV projects for myself.
And be washed up by the time I'm 40.
When I grow up, I want to be a web designer.
A freak. Use terms nobody understands.
And convince myself I'm no longer the geek I was in high school.
When I grow up, I want to pitch new business.
Fill out mindless RFPs.
Do lots of spec creating.
And not get paid a dime for any of it.
When I grow up,
I want to be a copywriter.
A hack.
An egomaniac.
and lay awake at night writing the great American novel that will never get published.
When I grow up, I want to be an art director.
Wear black clothes.
And always help when I don't get my way.
When I grow up, I want to be in agency management.
Tell people what to do.
Get away with having a bad temper.
I want to be so far removed from the day-to-day business that I need...
When I grow up, I want to work in accounting.
Be a receptionist.
Work in HR.
And be considered as nothing more than agency overhead.
When I grow up, I want to be a production manager.
Go on press checks.
Become an expert in trash and trinkets.
And point the finger somewhere else every time something goes wrong.
When I grow up, I want to be an account executive.
A kiss up.
I want to write off time and lose any hint of a backbone every time I step into a client meeting.
When I grow up, I want to own my own agency.
Get a corner office.
See my name on the door.
And have people wonder what I do all day long.
When I grow up, I want to be a producer.
Have big budgets.
No budgets.
Pretend I'm Cecil B. DeMille.
When I grow up, I want to work in advertising.
Win a Clio.
A telly.
Be in one show.
I want to win an Addy and be the envy of all my friends.
Is it sad that I feel like that?
I feel like none of that sounds like any fun. That just made me depressed about the real world.
There was no kid going 18, 20, 22-hour days, you know?
Yeah. That's I think I they kind sometimes. Of underestimated.
They undershot it a little bit. With the over-under, they missed it by just a little bit.
It's really funny, though, listening to that, because, of course, it makes you think, well, it's commentary, obviously. It's ironic. I was thinking, when I was a little kid, I wanted to grow up and fly a jet plane, like a fighter plane. And then when I realized that that was dangerous and you could probably die, I didn't want to do it anymore. So...
Okay. Kevin, what'd you want to do?
Well, when I grew up, I wanted to be a cheetah, but then I realized that humans couldn't turn into animals. So, like Julie, I was disillusioned very quickly.
I was telling Kevin that he could be like Professor McGonagall off of Harry Potter and just change from human to cheetah back to human.
And I was telling Josh they should just recut the movies. Every time she turns into a cat, turn into a cheetah. That would make Harry Potter so much more interesting.
And not just like a badly edited cheetah on there, but like an actual cheetah just running around.
A James Cameron cheetah.
In the field.
In the field, just like, like chasing the antelope. Where's Professor McGonagall? She's out in the field chasing.
I feel like Matt had very big dreams when he was a child.
What I wanted to be as a kid is exactly the same as what I want to be now, which is a sports agent. I saw Jerry Maguire at an early age, and it's not exactly appropriate for a 7-year-old, but I was so.
Neither was Top Gun, but.
Cuba Gooding Jr. and Tom Cruise sold me.
Hey, if it inspired you, then go for it.
You know, for me as a kid, I mean, some people are always like, they ask you, journalists will ask you, when did you want to become a sports journalist? And for me, it was in middle school. That's when I decided I wanted to go into the sports journalism field. But before then, I don't know, I thought being a firefighter would be pretty cool. But then, you know, I wanted to ride the truck pretty much and drive the truck, and I thought that'd be a cool job. But, you know, that didn't pan out when the whole thing was like, oh, you got to go actually into burning buildings and fight fires. Because I was like, I just want to drive the truck.
See, and I feel like that's kind of how all of it turns out. It's like you want to do the job until you realize what the job is, and you're like, that's not what I want.
It's kind of the same with journalism. Kind of
yeah,
same way.
Like, oh, I didn't realize I'd be sleeping under my desk all semester. Cool.
Yeah.
At least I have a desk, I guess.
Didn't know I built an awesome cot underneath my desk. I mean, it works out. I got a clock radio in there. It's like the episode of Seinfeld where George lives underneath or takes the naps underneath his desk at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, that's great.
It's always a great episode.
That's great.
So I think a lot of dreams change as you kind of figure out yourself throughout your life, and people start off with a certain dream, they want to be this, and then it changes as you go along. And then I even think even once you get into the career you want, your dreams change, because once you get married and have kids and mm-hmm. stuff like that, you start figuring out, well, okay, I can't relocate 8 times in 5 years because I want to go do this job. I gotta kind of start buckling
as down. Sorry. As much as I would love to go produce one of the best TV shows ever that rivals anything Joss Whedon did, I don't want to have to live in California.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, there goes that dream. And kind of at this point, as long as I can make enough money that I can pay rent and buy food,
That's what it boils down to. Everyone has these big grand dreams, and then it just comes down to, all right, what can I do to where I can just survive?
Right. I used to be a wise guy, and people would ask me what I wanted to do, and I'd say, I want to make a lot of money. Oh, but you want to do something you like. Well, I like making money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as I've gotten older, I've kind of realized you spend a big chunk of your life working. And if you don't like what you do, you're not going to like your free time.
That's true.
As long as you can make it, if you can enjoy your job, and then that gives you time to spend with your family and stuff like that, that's what's important to me now.
All right. Well, we've been talking about dream jobs and talking about how to get a dream job. We're going to be joined next by Lisa Ross, who's the career coordinator here in the College of Media and Communication. She's going to give us all the tips on how to get that dream job. That's coming up next on Good Morning Texas Tech. You're listening to us on The Raider 88.1 and also TheRaider881.com. Stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds, but I do that to pass the torch and put on for my
town. Trust me. Good morning. I'm Julie Fisher with your KTXT News Update. The City of Lubbock will hold vaccination clinics this week. The first clinic is this Wednesday from 9 a.m. until noon at the Godeke Library located at 67th Street and Slide. The second clinic, held at the Health Department, will last from 8:30 a.m. until noon. The Health Department is located at 806 18th Street. Individual children's vaccines cost $10 and $15 for two or more. Adult vaccination prices vary. Workers affected by the fertilizer plant explosion several weeks ago in West Texas will receive unemployment benefits from the Texas Workforce Commission. The TWC will help workers apply for benefits as well as find other work. A job fair will be held today and tomorrow for the workers at the West Knights of Columbus Hall. Those affected by the explosion can call 866-274-1722 or visit ui.texasworkforce.org to apply. And a candlelight vigil was held for Colorado teen Haley Dunn Friday, the same day that Scurry County officials made the announcement that human remains found in Snyder this past March were positively identified as the middle schooler. Dunn went missing in late 2010, and a massive search of the area to find the teen ensued. Officials say her body was found at Lake J.B. Thomas, an area near where she originally was reported missing. Now here's Cutter Martin with your KTXT weather update.
Good morning, everyone. Temperatures are mild to start the day in the upper 50s to near 60 across the city of Lubbock. Mostly clear skies, a little bit of a breeze, a very nice spring-like morning. But temperatures will warm quickly today into the mid-80s by lunch, topping out near 90 or maybe 91 or 92 in the city of Lubbock this afternoon. Continued partly cloudy skies, though there is a very slight chance of thunderstorms well to the east of Lubbock. All in all, a very nice, warm, and somewhat breezy afternoon. For KTXT Weather, I'm Cutter Martin.
Welcome back into Good Morning Texas Tech, everyone. Joshua Cook alongside Kevin Wade, Julie Fisher. That's an interesting...
Speaking of what I wanted to do when I grew up, I'd love to be a Pokemon trainer.
This is Julie's theme song. I forgot.
Oh, I just feel like going out and doing things now. I'm going to go try to climb a mountain and then fail.
Oh, okay. Good luck with that. Let us know how that went. All right, we're joined now in studio by Lisa Ross, the director of the Career Center, and thanks so much for joining us in studio this morning.
Sure, thanks for having me.
You may help Julie on her mission becoming a Pokemon. How would she
sure.
go? How would she go along that lines?
You
like
know,
that?
Pokemon was a little after my time, so I'm not super familiar with what steps you should take for that. But I can help with a lot of other things.
We were joking in the break. You had said you'd done television interviews and podcast interviews, never done a radio interview, and we said jokingly, "Hey, you should go update your resume."
That's right. That's right. I think that's what I'll do as soon as I get done here. Yeah. So, yeah, I've interviewed, you know, I talk to students a lot. You know, that's one of the beauties of being in this college. Students want lots of information, then they write about it or put together a package about it and all of that stuff. So, yeah, magazines, newspaper, TV, but never, you know, podcasts, but never radio. So this is a first for me. I'm pretty excited.
Now, the college itself, the Texas Tech University, has their big career center.
Yes.
And some colleges have their own career center in-house, and the College of Media and Communication is one of a few that does offer that service.
Right. Two, I think. We're one of two colleges that have their own designated, specifically, you know, designed career center to work with students within that college. So there's someone that gets what the students are doing, what they hope to do. And it's ideal for me because I've been through our program. And so I know like the classes you're taking. I know the professors, some of them I had as well, you know, so and it definitely helps me relate to students and help them, you know, it helps me better understand what it is they want to do when they leave here. So I can help them take those steps to be successful when they leave.
How much have you seen the career landscape change over the past probably 5 to 6 years? Because all of a sudden 5 years ago, you know, Facebook and Twitter and those things were just kind of starting to make their way in. Now it's on job applications. It actually says you need to be, you know, very well versed in social media.
Yeah, and not even so much that, just being well versed in it, but that's actually a thing now that you can have a job just doing that social media. You know, it's not something that used to be a job and now it's a job. And so that's pretty cool. So what's next? What's going to be the next thing for our students that didn't used to be a thing, but now it is a job they can have? So it's pretty exciting.
And that's cool. And what are some of the programs that are offered by the Career Center to kind of help students in the college, you know, get to that job, to discover what they want to do and get there?
Right. So, of course, first thing is an internship. I always encourage students to do an internship. 2, 3, 4, 5, however many they can do, whatever kind of experiences they can get while they're a student related to their major, because that's going to be what employers look for on the resume. Beyond that, you know, I offer resume writing workshops. We offer a career fair and prepare students ahead of time on what the heck is a career fair? What do I do when I get there? Those kinds of things. Resume critiques. I help students practice for interviewing. You know, we're really lucky in this college that most of our students can talk about anything. So it's not so much preparing them to talk and to answer questions, but it's more of, you know, communicating exactly the point they're trying to get across in an interview setting. So we do some interview prep. I speak to student organizations and things like that. So, you know, there's lots of different things, but the biggest thing I tell students is come talk to me and get to know me. Let me know what it is you need help with so I can actually help you.
Now, Elisa, there are, of course, a lot of students that won't be staying here in Lubbock to work.
Right.
So what's some of the biggest advice you'd give? I know I'm very used to being able to walk into a place, walk to, you know, the secretary or the general manager and say, hi, my name's Julie Fisher. You should hire me. Handing in my resume physically. I'm having trouble with that because I can't do that. I'm applying for work in Austin and right. All of it is over the phone, over email. So how do you make yourself stand out in situations like that?
So I think still, you know, if you have the opportunity to get there and go visit some of these places in person, you know, whether it's, you know, during Christmas break or during spring break, or if you know you're going to be graduating in December and you go over the summer and try to build a relationship with these people, that really is the key thing, the bottom line, networking and making those connections. But if you aren't able to do that, what you can do certainly is have a well-written cover letter that catches their attention, introducing yourself, explaining what you're looking for, and then having a thorough resume that kind of documents your experiences, the things that you've done related to the job you hope to get. And then the biggest thing, the thing I think students forget to do is, you know, after you send it off to someone, then it's just, they just wait and wait and wait. And then I hear all the time, no one ever contacted me. And I always say, did you follow up? And the students look at me like with, you know, deer in the headlights kind of look, and they're like, no, I never followed up. So you have to be persistent. You have to try to build and, you know, foster that relationship. And so don't just send your stuff off to a website or to an email and then never do anything else about it. Follow up. That lets them know you really are interested, that you're eager, and you're passionate about this. So that's the best advice I could give in that situation.
So let's say I submit a resume via email. Would the best way to follow up with these people be to email them, or should I give them a call?
Yeah, typically whatever method you apply, you know, obviously if you're applying through a specific website for a job, you can't go back through that website again. But usually email is most preferred because someone can get back to you at their leisure and they're not caught off guard by a phone call. So what I've had alums and recruiters tell me is they prefer follow-up communication and usually initial communication until that relationship is built and developed, they prefer it to be done by email.
Okay.
So basically be proactive is what you're saying. Make sure that you do everything and make sure you keep in contact with the people you're applying to.
Absolutely. And, you know, just to give you a couple of numbers, and this is not, you know, a scientific poll, but I've, you know, I like to ask students a lot of questions when they're going through the job search. And I had a student that graduated in December, a public relations major, and she said she applied to between 30 and 40 jobs, and she heard back from 5 people.
Wow.
I had a student tell me a couple of weeks ago he's applied for 8 internships for the summer and had heard back from 1. So it kind of gives you perspective. You really need to cast a wide net to get a few bites, so to speak. You know, so it's not just, I love this job, this is my dream job, I'm going to apply for that one only, because it may or may not. If you're lucky, it'll work out for you, but it's not all, you know, it's not always about luck.
Speaking right now with Lisa Ross, the director of the Career Center here in the College of Media and Communication. I know that I'm in that situation right now. It feels like I've sent out 40, 50 resumes and cover letters and applications and resume tapes, and just I'm sitting here going, I'm like 10 days away from graduation. I'm not really hearing back from anybody, you know, and you start really second guessing yourself. Am I really am I good? Am I worth it? Have I done the right thing? But it's just the fact that it's not just you, it's everybody else in this college, it's everybody else across the country. And also because of all the layoffs that happened a few years ago, it's all the professionals that were in the business that got out of the business now that are trying to come back in.
Sure. And, you know, and I think that is a great point. You're not alone. I have this conversation with students at least every day, especially this time of the year. And whether that's comforting or not, I don't know, but you aren't alone in that sense. And I think that another thing, you know, in this day and age, we're used to everything being so instantaneous, like immediate feedback, immediate gratification. And this is not an overnight process. It takes months and months. But what I see are, you know, our students that are, as Kevin said, proactive. They are very, you know, they're applying for jobs. They're following up. They're not just waiting to hear back from that one dream job, but they are very active and involved in their job search process, networking, building those connections. Those people always get a job. The problem is it's just not like you graduate in a couple weeks. You want to know now, you probably wanted to know in January what you were going to be doing, and it doesn't work like that. Yeah. But I have found those people that are truly invested and doing what they're supposed to, it always works.
It's not only you that wants to know, but it's your family.
Exactly.
And in my case, my fiance would like to know where I'm going to be working as well. Now, here's a question. It might be situational, but say you're applying for jobs and you're doing an interview for one, and that one looks like this one could work out and you could have that job, but you're also in the application process, have done a phone interview with another job, and you're waiting to hear back for them from them. How do you balance between, do I take this job now or do I sit back and wait for this one, but this one might not work out in the end, and then I've just kind of backed myself into a corner?
That sounds very specific, Josh.
Yeah, kind of.
Like you might actually be in that situation.
Be in that situation. So this is kind of a specific question.
Right?
But I think it happens more than less, because you're applying so much that you might be having multiple interviews going on and you don't know what to do once one offers you.
Right. And that is a very tough scenario. I get that question quite often, actually. So again, you're not alone in that, because I think the hardest thing is, you know, because there's no magic answer. No one can tell you what to do. So if you're offered a job and you're waiting on another one, how do you turn down a sure thing on something that might not happen? So the only advice I can give students is you have to be willing to live with the consequences, basically. If you say no and the other one doesn't work out, okay, you're going to have to be able kind of to regroup from that. Because that, when you're told no, when you experience that rejection, it's really hard to swallow. And so you have to be willing to, you know, and have the right attitude to just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and keep on going. So it's a matter of, you know, do you take this first job that's offered because it's a job, you need to pay back student loans, you're getting married, and you know, that presents a whole different set of, you know, problems. And so, you know, you have to be willing to live with the consequences. But, you know, the good thing is, whatever job you take, that's not going to probably, the way things work now in the workforce, that's not going to be the job you have when you retire at 65. You know, so if that's not your dream job, it's at least experience, hopefully related to your major and what you do want to do to that dream job, you know, related experience. And so it helps you build your resume, gives you that foot in the door, gets you that entry level experience so you can move on to the next best thing.
It's kind of one of those things of, would you rather be at least working in the industry and keep it on your resume, or go work at a local grocery store and be out hoping
right.
that you get back in?
Right.
Basically, if you're going to get paid minimum wage to run a board or get paid minimum wage to serve coffee, I'm going to run a board, even if it's every single night.
Exactly. And, or midnight. Yeah. Or, you know, overnight even, you know.
Yes, very.
So I think that, and, you know, once you do that, if you show that willingness to go in and, you know, take the graveyard shift or whatever it might be, that's still a foot in the door. And, it, you know, you're showing them you're committed to this, you're interested in this. And so it's likely to open up other doors within the station once you've been there and proven yourself.
So going back to responding, because I'm definitely not doing follow-ups right now during the show.
but you will right after, I know.
What exactly do you say in a follow-up? I know I get there and I want to just write, hey, I sent you my resume. Have you not looked at
What's
it yet?
What's your problem?
Yeah.
What that's
do you
probably,
say?
Yeah, that's probably not the best approach, right? So what I normally tell students, you know, anything that happens in my office is or that I potentially help you with is a brand new experience. It's not something you've ever done before, right? You've never had to find an internship. You haven't had to find a professional job. So there are no dumb questions when you come to my office. And this is one of those questions where I tell students, hey, if you draft something and send it to me first, and then let me help you tweak it and give you feedback on, you know, on how you can better polish it. But basically, you're just reiterating to the person, I sent you, you know, I applied for this and submitted my information on such and such date. I wanted to follow up and you know, let you know I'm still very interested in the position and see if you have any questions about my information. A couple of sentences and that's plenty. And that just, you know, gets your name in front of them one more time, lets them know you're still interested. But the hard thing is to know that while it's urgent for us on this side, it's usually not urgent for them because they have other work they're trying to do, mm-hmm. you know, get done during the day. So it's hard. It's hard to be patient. So I usually tell students, wait, you know, a week to 10 days after you send your information, then follow up. Don't follow up every day and check in.
Yeah, just don't blow up their email. Then they might be like starting to delete you and go, okay, now you're starting to get a little annoying. One point I wanted to make real quick, internships, how important are they? And not only just to get the credit, because I think there are some students that go into an internship, they just get the credit and right. they're done. How important is it to go into an internship and get experience and really just buckle down and work hard?
It's crucial. I don't know how else to say it other than it is terribly, terribly important. And an internship, you know, loosely defined, what you guys here are doing at the station, not everybody is getting credit. It's not an internship for everyone, but you're here, you're getting that real world experience. It doesn't matter what it's called. You know, Kevin, did you work over at Raider Vision?
Or yeah, for a little while, yeah.
Yeah, so, and that wasn't typically deemed an internship, you know.
No, but it was still...
it was exactly...
experience.
Exactly. So it doesn't matter what it's called. It just matters that you get that experience. It's crucial.
Well, we've been joined by Lisa Ross, Director of the Career Center here in the College of Media and Communication. Thank you so much for joining us in studio.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be back with more Good Morning Texas Tech right after this on KTXT The Raider 88.1.
Tonight.
listening to A Tattered Line of String by Postal Service. Some new music put in by our great, fantastic music director, Matt Smith. I like that. I like that new song.
It's catchy.
It is. It's kind of like my, I think this is my new, like, wake up, I'm getting energized for the morning kind of beat.
Did the Postal Service put out a new album?
So what they did is they reissued their most famous album that has, like, Such Great Heights and all that. And they added a couple songs. That's one of their newer songs.
That's awesome. I was sitting there thinking, like, oh, yeah. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, yeah.
They're good.
Yeah.
A big thanks to Lisa Ross. I think she gave some great information about what to do.
I definitely responded to, like, 5 people.
Did you start, after she gave you the advice on how to respond, did you start deleting and then rewriting?
I had to turn my mic off so that you wouldn't hear me typing.
That's pretty much what it was. Well, we've come to the last and final segment of Good Morning Texas Tech here on KTXT The Raider 88.1.
For me and Josh forever.
Yeah, I did my last sports broadcast yesterday afternoon, and now do the final morning show, and here in about 3 hours I'm gonna do the final stand-ups for Double T Insider. So it's kind of 2 days just kind of wrapping everything up, and it's a little emotional,
a little tearjerker. It's all coming to an end.
Now I was asked to put together a memorable montage for the show, and originally it was I was gonna put clips together, different clips of different shows that I've been on throughout the semester. But there was one clip that I ran over, and it was actually the Valentine's Day show. And it was a neat opportunity that I got to tell the story of how I proposed to my fiance. And I made that my senior montage, and we'll play it now. Now, you want to talk about nervousness. I'll indulge the story of how I proposed to my fiance. It was the night before she graduated, and her parents and grandparents were all in town. And, you know, I had a feeling that she was going to say yes. But at the same time, on that day, you're kind of going, what if she says no? And you're sitting there on one knee, and you're, like, completely embarrassed.
It's so adorable.
So we went to – she graduated with honors from Texas Tech. So there's an honors banquet the night before they graduate where they get the little medallion. And I'm sitting there all dressed up, and I have the ring in my pocket. I'm literally shaking. I'm shaking so bad I'm sweating, because we're going to go out to Will Rogers after that, and that's where I'm going to propose to her. Her mom knew, but no one else knew. So we get out there, and the lights are out at Will Rogers. The lights are off out at Will Rogers, and I'm upset because that's where I wanted to propose to her. And she's like, why are we even out here? We wanted to take pictures. And that's the story to get her out there, was we were going to take pictures. She's like, it's dark. Makes no sense. We can take them tomorrow. And I'm sitting there, I'm getting angry because I'm like, no. We have to do it now, because I'd prep myself up for this. So we walk up to the seal where it's definitely lit, because the seal's always lit. And we take pictures. She takes pictures with her dad and her mom and her grandparents, takes a picture with me. And then her mom looks at me, and I'm kind of standing there, and her mom goes, okay, it's your turn now. And Brittany just looks, and she looks at me and goes, well, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And that's when I turned and I reached in my jacket pocket and dropped one knee, and I had this whole speech prepared, and the only thing I could get out of my mouth was, will you marry me? That's the only words I could get out of my mouth.
That's nice, Josh.
And
I
so
like that.
It paid off. It was well worth it. And, you know, I made the decision like 2 days before that I was actually going to finally propose to her. It was actually weird. I figured out that I was going to do that in the grocery store, which is what was odd, but... Yeah, so that was my senior montage. It was my favorite moment from the shows, and
we can't play my senior montage because it's not FCC
appropriate.
I got a little choked up right there, and I think
figured.
We need a couple tissues for Kevin.
No,
Kevin.
I was like, I almost lost it over here. That was adorable.
It was good, man.
So, you know, it was one of those things. It was, you know, looking through all the clips, I thought what would be the most important to me, and that one was the most important because I got a neat opportunity to tell that story on air during the Valentine's Day show. So,
well,
it was fun.
And talking about all the indecision and all the everything's up in the air when you're about to graduate, yeah. Everything. It's nice to know that there is life after this. To know that even if you end up having to put peanut butter on jelly at which, you still have things that are important to you. You still built relationships. I mean, I know some of the friendships I've made here will always be intact. I'll always have people, you know, even when I'm 45, they'll send an email to, hey,
you know,
I'm going to be in Dallas this weekend.
Probably the the coolest thing for me is over the last 2 years, I've been a part of the station since it got rebooted, and we've gone from a small room in the basement of the old building that was an old podcast studio that Derek Ginter wired up to make it work somehow. I still don't know if it was legally wired up or safely wired up, but it worked and got us on the air, and you know, we've went from that to a beautiful new facility up here with studios and a control room and a news booth and
people.
Offices and
there's some people here now.
Everything, and Derek had to wire this one up too to put new equipment in, so it's been fun.
Yeah, I liked what Julie said about, you know, the relationships she's made and stuff like that. I think, you know, when you're at college, you get so focused on grades and jobs, and I think what makes a good student is one that is be able to kind of absorb as much as they can from college, but also understand that, you know, things end and that it's time to move on to the next phase. And that's what makes a successful student. I know for Julie and Josh, they've had a lasting impact on the station. In the short months that I've been here, I can't even tell you how much they've helped me and really kind of put this station in position to be great. And I just want to say thank you. And
well, thank you, Matt. You walked in here and you were all about business. You got your stuff done.
And yeah, Julie and Josh, they were actually the first two people I met coming into this station. Julie taught me. She basically handed me a script and said, read this, produce this. And Josh's like, hey, you interested in sports? Come do this. Come do play-by-play. So it was the opportunity that you guys gave me, guys. And I just want to thank you, too. It's been incredible, and you guys are great.
Oh, I just remember one day, it was one of those days where you wake up and you just know. You know it's going to be rough. And me and Matt were headed outside, and I just felt like curling up in a ball and dying. And I walked past the studio and I saw Christine and Bianca laughing. They're the people running the show right now. And I looked at Matt and I said, that right there makes it worth it, because I know that I've given them something that they can take out into the world and they're enjoying at least part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing I walk away with is the impact we've had on the students, and you know,
I hope we've had on
I
the
hope
students.
A positive impact on the students, and that they want to be in radio and they want to work in media. And you know, it's been a fun ride, it's been a pleasure, and you know, it's now finally coming to a final wrap, and it's kind of surreal. And there's the music. So
Grand Theft Auto.
That's how we roll out. That's how we roll out. Julie and I are rolling out in our Chevy Impalas.
Heck yeah. Impala.
All right. Big thanks to everyone listening. Good Morning Texas Tech will be back in the fall. And Kevin and Matt will be back. But Julie and I be often riding
off into the
sunset. All right. Big thanks. You've been listening to Good Morning Texas Tech on the Raider 88.1, KTXT, and also KTXTFM.org.